It's particularly important today that we have an opportunity to hear a word of thanksgiving because months ago in April, when Omega and Julie got home from Tanzania, they talked about wanting to go back, and they talked about the amount of funds that needed to be raised in that period of time, and I thought, that's a big mountain. They're going to be here a long time. Well, God has worked in marvelous ways. They said they were going to have their daughter to go back to Tanzania to begin school for some very good reasons. I thought, and God worked in such marvelous ways. And we're here to hear a story of faith today, and we're also here to commission some folks that are going to be leaving on Wednesday for Tanzania. God has worked in marvelous ways. Julie and Omega, come on up.
Good morning. We just have a few things to say. We wrote it down because we're so happy and full of joy. We couldn't get it out if we didn't write it down. Before I get into it, yeah, I was just thinking to myself now, why are we so happy? It's not about leaving sunny Southern California and all the blessings here and to go to a third world country and all the risks that can be associated with that. That is not why I'm so excited. We're excited because we're in the Lord's will. We're in his plan. Amen. We're doing his work. That excites us. Our plane will be leaving this Wednesday at 3 p.m., and we arrive in Dar es Salaam on Friday. I want you to applaud. And we have so many things to be thankful for. We just want to highlight a few. And as we're highlighting them, this is not to be a respecter of persons. If you have gotten behind us with a dollar, or whether it's $1,000, we don't see any difference than how much a person gives and gets behind the work. So if it comes across that way, we don't mean it. We're thankful for the Denham family who live here in Camarillo, who've made us a part of their home since April. They've never taken payment from us. They refuse to let us help with groceries, and we thank you. Once in the grocery store, I was trying to buy groceries, and Mr. Denham called me and said, "What are you doing?" We're grateful for one of my colleagues who let me borrow his car since April. And we're thankful for all of you who are praying for us, who are financially partnering with you. Thank you. And as Pastor Jim said, that we did have a mountain to climb. We had to pray that the current support that we had to be in Africa over the last 2.5 years, that it would stay in place. And then we also had to raise 40% on top of that. And that is the cost of being promoted to career missionaries. When we came home, our focus was not primarily on raising support. Our focus was on simply sharing what the Lord is doing in Tanzania and asking the Lord to continue to work through us here locally. We trusted that if we did that, that the Lord would move in the hearts of the people that he calls to be involved with this work, and that those people would partner with us. And we know that some of us are called to go, like us, and that there are people who are called to send. And we're so thankful to be sent by this church. So again, I say thank you. And let me just tell you about how the Lord has allowed for us to be fully supported, because just last week, we were at 87%. Now, many times since we've been home, we've been faced with not understanding or knowing how the Lord was going to do things. But instead of trying to go out and fundraise, I simply asked the Lord last Tuesday to show me what I needed to do next. It's very easy for me to try to do things in my own strength. So on Tuesday this past week, I noticed that one of our donors had made a large donation 3 months in a row. Usually when someone makes a donation, I often wonder, is this a monthly giving Or is this a one-time gift? And if so, we divide it by 48 months to try to get an understanding of where we are for our support raising. So I went to this doctor's office, and I told him, so we've divided it, and he said, why are you doing that? He said, don't you know the Lord has called my wife and I to get behind that work? That's what we're called to do. Why are you doing that? And I said, if that is what you're doing, I said, you put us over the top. He says, I thought you should have been back by now. And I just started to cry. I just started crying in front of him, and he started to cry. And as I said before, it wasn't about we've reached a goal. It's because the Lord is faithful. So when that happened, first thing I did was I called my wife to tell her, and she's there at home with Mrs. Denham, and then they start crying. Everybody's crying. I stopped here to see Pastor Jim. He was busy, so I run into Barbara, and she started crying. I was just telling anybody that I could see. And so when I finally did make it home, Julie reminded me. She said that when we were on our road trip over the summer, we stopped in Chicago and spent time with my niece. And my niece took us to this small storefront church. And there were some ladies at that church who had some encouraging words, almost prophetic words for our family. I'll let Julie share it.
Yes, we serve such a good God. And we're still crying. but tears of joy. And he is so faithful in good times and in bad times. These ladies that were at this church, they encouraged us that there would be a man. He would be a man that would be in good standing with the community, and he had finances. He would provide financially for us and our family. We did not need to worry because God had already provided. We often wondered after coming back from Chicago who this man might be. And now we know for sure that God did provide our man. He provided a donor that put us over the top. The ladies also, while we're there, gave Lizzie an encouraging word. Lizzie is our oldest daughter. She's already back in Tanzania. And they said that she was a leader and that she had a big heart. They continued to encourage her that she was called to reach her own generation. And they said that she would be sent to many nations and she'd be a light to those around her. The ladies encouraged her that when it appeared that she was staring off into space, that God knew that she was praying and that he heard her prayers. After the ladies prayed over Lizzie, she was moved to tears. And if any of you know Lizzie, she's rather reserved and would not normally cry in church. She came up to me and she said, Mom, she said, what these ladies say is true. And how did they know that about me? It was not long after this that Lizzie expressed that she wanted to go back and start the school year in Tanzania. We were a little bit nervous about that, but the words from those ladies encouraged us to be reminded that God would provide for her and he would protect her. And we would like to share today that Lizzie isn't just surviving in Tanzania, but she's thriving. She's doing well in school, and she's become a star on the varsity soccer team. We continually remind her and remind ourselves that God's blessing is resting upon her and is resting upon us. It is nothing of our own doing.
Sorry, I'm a proud father. This entire soccer season, we just kept getting reports, and my other kids were saying, that's Lizzie doing that? God is so blessing her. And yesterday they had their final tournament of the year. And her coach wrote me, he said, you'd have been so proud of your daughter. He said, in the semifinal, your daughter, we put her in goalkeeper for penalty shots. She saved three, and then she scored one for us to get the win. And then he said, do you know in the final game, your daughter chipped a shot from 30 yards over the keeper's head for the win. And he sent me a picture showing all her teammates hugging her. And Lizzie was just reserved and, yep. And he said that they named her Woman of the Tournament.
Hey,
yeah.
So one other thing, going back to our church in Chicago, as if they had not already encouraged us enough, they went on to pray over Omega, and they said that he was carrying a burden for his family. They said that the Lord had a great work for him to do, but the Lord really wanted Omega to focus on one thing to accomplish this work. She said, the Lord just wants Omega to be sensitive to his spirit. And you know what? Our time on home assignment has been successful simply because we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we're obedient to the commands of the Lord.
And so as we return to Tanzania, we are excited. I look forward to serving on the leadership team there. Julie will be teaching English to the nursing students. I'll be providing medical education to the medical students. And we will disciple our students in the afternoons with an emphasis on evangelism. Even though we've got these plans, we hold them loosely. We are trusting that the Lord will show us the way step by step. That's how he's done it. I'd like to close with this verse, John 15:4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what are we thankful for today? We are thankful for Jesus being that vine. And we are thankful that we get to be branches on the vine. Amen?
Amen. We want to thank God for Julie and Omega and Omega's work that God has called him to do. And we have a number of elders here present that I'm going to ask if you would come forward. We have a number of people on our global outreach team as well. Our global outreach team is charged with the responsibilities of watching for and caring for our missionaries. One of the things that we want you to know is that this is not just about Omega and Julie. This is about a legion of people standing behind them in churches, including ours, that are part of this great mission that God has called us to do. And so as we gather together here, we are commissioning them for as representatives of this ministry, thankful to God for who they are and for what they've done. And Rick is our director of global outreach, and we're going to ask Rick to pray for us and just commission Omega and Julie and the kids for the Lord. We're going to ask you guys to kneel. Rick, here you go. And we're just going to pray for you guys.
Oh, Lord Jesus, you show us again and again, Father, when our faith, Father, in the insurmountable, Father, needs to be bolstered, Lord, you show us again and again, and you did it, Father, and you are putting those who we love, Father, people that have exchanged the pleasures of this world and all the fame and all this for the kingdom to come, Father, and we bless your name this morning, Father. We commission this family, Lord, this faithful family. We pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them, Father, that you would go before Omega and help him to lead, Father, and be that bright light that he has shown us, and we've grown to love, and we thank you, Father, for Julie and the ministry you have prepared for him, for Lizzie and her leadership, and all of them, Father, for Evelyn and Ollie and little cute, beautiful little Francie. Lord, we pray that you would just guard and protect them, Father, that they would know that they would fix their eyes on you, Lord, when they step out on the water, that they would keep focused on you, Lord. Bless them as and we love them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Here you go, Julie. We want to remind you that as they go, there are some ongoing needs that they have just in terms of setting up, and if you would like to send them a going away gift or would like to be a part of that final little push, you can either give something to them directly or you can put something in the offering and that will go to them. Just make sure that anything that you put in goes with a little memo on the memo line that's for Omega and Julie. We do want to remind you as well of our ongoing needs as a church, And just pray that as we look towards a end of year, that you can perhaps help us build a little bit of reserve that could be very much needed and helpful during these times. Well, we are thankful to God for an opportunity to hear what God has done in the life of Omega, lives of Omega and Julie, and just to be thrilled and encouraged, just the aspect of thankfulness that was present in both of their hearts as they were moved over the top. It's easy just to look forward and not look back and say thank you, but they didn't do that. They were a model of what we are talking about today. So let's pause just for a moment and think about turning our hearts towards Scripture. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to think about thankfulness and what it means to have our hearts, Lord, blessed by you in terms of developing a mature thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Daniel, the second chapter, and I would like to give just a bit of background for this because we're picking it up midstream. Daniel is under the authority of a harsh, pagan, brutal king who holds the power of life and death in his hand at his will. And he has asked for impossible things, things that no human being could possibly deliver. And it is in this background that Daniel's life is threatened, and we pick it up at that particular point. Arioch, who is the king's officer, explains the matter to Daniel that we've just been talking about. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God, the God of heaven, concerning the mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what files lie. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." This is God's word. As we have seen with Omega and Julie this morning, as we have sensed a heart overflowing of gratitude, I think our hearts have been moved as well. As we have heard the stories of God's working, not only in the last week, but in the months leading up to that, words that have come to them, that have encouraged them, and have spoken to them about God's work and what God intended to do, this is something that thrills our hearts and moves our souls. It encourages us as well as encourages others. It is true what William Ward said, that gratitude can transform common days into thanksgiving, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. As we were praying this morning, a few of us before the service, just getting ready, it was my prayer that this morning be not just another service, but it be an event. It'd be an event when we saw God in a special way, where we saw the hand of God moving and working in people's lives, that we might be encouraged that that same thing is available to us. That's what gratitude does for us. And I must say, as I started out on this little quest about 6 weeks ago, working toward this idea of a harvest of thanksgiving, where we would be like the reapers going into the field and looking back at our lives and looking at what God has done for us and what others have done for us and how we might express that, that we might go into the fields and reap a great bounty of harvest as we raise a thank offering to the Lord for his grace and his mercy. And when I started on this quest, I Googled the word Thanksgiving. And I did it once again just this last week. And I would encourage you to do that, to actually go on the internet and put in the word Thanksgiving and see what pops up, because I was shocked. I was shocked because I thought that I would get something like some nice, cute sayings or some Mr. Rogers type attitude that says, we should use the magic words please and thank you, and that we should say thank you more often. What I was amazed at was seeing the level of input as to what gratitude actually does for a person. As I reached a certain blogger, I put this little graphic up on the screen. She said, I was shocked. She said, what in the world is this? Some Christian website. But it wasn't a Christian website. It was a secular website on the therapeutic benefits of gratitude. And as I went down through each of these websites, time and time and time again, it talked about how gratitude changes a person's life. And I put this up there not to go by step and to work laboriously through what all of this says, but rather just to give you a global picture of what secular people say. People who have no connection with God, people who have no interest in demonstrating who God is in people's lives, but how it affects lives. And this particular graphic talks about it affecting life emotionally, socially, in terms of your career, in terms of your health, in terms of personality, and how gratitude in all of these areas interact with one another and lead to a greater sense of happiness and well-being in a person's life, even affecting their general health and their general outlook. And I thought, wow. And there might be a tendency on our part to say, we should all be grateful people because it will make us happier. We should all be grateful people because it will make us healthier. We should all be grateful people because it will improve our marriage. And there is an aspect to that that is true. But that is not why we should be grateful people. I want to underline that. I want to emphasize that. That even though it has an effect on depression, that's not why we should be grateful. Because God's plan is not to use gratefulness to make us happier. God's plan is not to use gratefulness as a therapeutic device to help us get through life. That's not his plan. No, rather than gratefulness being a key to happiness, we are happier because in gratefulness we are aligned with God's plan. By being people who are grateful by nature, who learn the skill of thanksgiving and of gratefulness, we find that we begin to be the people that God designed us to be. That we begin to take on the aspect of life that God meant for his children. That there is more to life than just me. There are more resources than just I have to offer. That things that come my way, things that happen to me, don't happen simply because I work hard and produce them. It's because God is graceful, God is merciful, and God brings things and benefits into my life, that other people participate in making me the person that God has helped me to be, that we have relationship with one another, and as we express that, we become the people that God wants us to be. And that is the thing that is the key and the guide to happiness. It's not that somehow or another we do these little tricks of the trade to be psychologically well. No, it's that we are psychologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually well because we are the people that God designed us to be. We can't go about this thing backwards. And so as we look at this, as we see a young couple going to a third world country, picking up their family and leaving, as we see you going about the daily aspects of your life, day in and day out, as we see you in relationship to your family, as we see you in relationship to your spouse, as we see in you in your relationship to other people if you're single, as we see all of these things working together, we see people being changed into the image of God. And it's in this context that we look at this aspect of thankfulness as it arises in Daniel's life. Because Daniel is asked for impossible things. Daniel is living and functioning under a king that does not care about people. He cares about himself. Absolute power, absolute authority, as far as he believes, and we will find in Daniel mistakenly so, he believes that he answers to no one. He is the end of the line in terms of authority. And so in order to get to this aspect of thanksgiving and how Daniel gives thanks, we have to understand what he is giving thanks for. Because the king asks an impossible task, provoking an impossible crisis that is completely beyond Daniel's control. And so, in all of this, here's what happens. The king has one of those dreams that's a troubling dream. You've had them before, and you may have even felt that a dream carried some significance. The king felt that this dream had significance, and he wanted an interpretation. So he calls in all of his wise men, all of his dream interpreters, all of his astrologers, and says, give me the answer to this dream. What does this dream mean? And they ask the less logical question, tell us your dream. Now, the king wasn't born yesterday. He understands that wise counselors are wise because they know what the king wants to hear and they give it to him. It doesn't really matter what truth is. What matters is what they can do to save their own skin and save their own position. O king, tell us your dream. And the king says, yeah, no. Because if you are really people that speak for the gods, you can give me the dream. So you tell me the dream, and if you accurately represent the dream, then I'll know that you're telling the truth. No, you need to tell us the dream. No, if you can't tell me the dream, you're not who you say you are, and you're to be executed. And they say, nobody can do that. There is not a, no one has ever asked for anything like this before. It is totally unreasonable what you're asking, and they are right. They say, there's not a man on the face of the earth that can do what you are asking us to do, and they're right. And the king says, you're not wise men, you're phonies. You're not counselors that are looking for the king's benefit, you're looking for your own benefit, and he sends out the order for execution. Now you have first level wise men and you have second level wise men under this position. The hero of our story, Daniel, is a second level wise person in this particular framework. He has not yet reached the council of the highest tier, and so he's completely unaware. The first knowledge that he has of this is when the knock comes at the door and there is Arioch, the king's officer. And he says, you're to come with me. Why? You're to be executed. And there's a very key phrase here, a very key phrase that comes up in this impossible situation. Here you have this order that's coming at you, and it says, Daniel spoke with wisdom and tact. Daniel spoke with wisdom and tact. Many of us under those circumstances would be anything but wise and tactful. We would be rude and blustering. We would be bitter. How in the world has this come upon us? But there's something that happens when a person feels that he is in the hands of God and the impossible situation arises. There's a confidence. There's a knowledge of something more than them themselves that's going on here. Daniel answers with wisdom and tact and says, "Why such a harsh decree? What has happened?" Arioch explains. And Daniel simply says, "Let me talk to the king." There's an aspect where Daniel does not panic. Daniel does not run around screaming and yelling and excited and cursing the king. He doesn't do any of those things. He simply says, "Let me talk to the king." And as he goes into the king, this is what he says. He says, "Give me time so that I might interpret the dream." Now, in saying that, it's very important to understand that Daniel, at this particular moment in time, is approaching the petition to God. Is there a guarantee that the king is going to give him the answer, that God is going to give him the answer? And the answer is no, there is no guarantee. Because sometimes the answer to prayer comes in ways that we expect in the moment that we expect it. Have you found that to be true? What do we have today? A wonderful story of God's working in ways that went beyond expectations. In just a couple of chapters, we're going to hear from three men who are facing execution. And the king will look at them and say, "Do you think that your God is able to save you from this?" And they say, "Yes, we do. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow the knee." And so there are times when the healing comes. There are times when that check comes at the last minute. There are times when the job is saved, and there are times when it doesn't come. There are times when the healing doesn't come. There are times when you know that to be true, don't you? But there is something in mature thanksgiving that recognizes that God can answer how he chooses. Daniel does not know how God is going to answer. But here's the key. Daniel knows that God can answer and will answer if he so chooses. And he's ready to place himself in the hands of God. Story moves forward very quickly. And Daniel comes to God and he prays. He enlists the help of his three friends. During the night, he urged his friends to plead for mercy to God concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of Babylon, of the wise men of Babylon. Now, an important factor here, an important thing. What is Daniel praying for? We want the answer from God because we don't want to be executed. Wait a minute, that sounds a little selfish. It's not selfish. There is nothing wrong with praying for the outcome that we would like God to give. We are told in Scripture to offer our prayers to God with thanksgiving. Let our requests, let our petitions be made known to God. But there is a difference between asking and demanding. There is a difference between pounding on the door and seeking God's will. Because sometimes, how many of us can look back at times in our lives where we prayed a certain way and 3 months, 6 months, 12 months later, we say, "Thank God he didn't answer my prayers. Thank God I didn't get the answer that I was looking for because I didn't know all of the circumstances or the situations. Thank God that I got a no answer." There are times when that happens. And we look back and we see why the answer came in a disappointing fashion to us at the time. There are other times, you know, when we pray for things and we get answers and we never know in this life why the answer was negative. We never know why the answer didn't come. But there is a mature trust that is founded in God and trust in him. And God answers his prayer. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Here comes the answer. What does Daniel do? It is at this point that Daniel succeeds. It is at this point that something important happens, because we saw last week 10 men healed of a terrible wasting disease. One man came back, 9 men didn't. One man returned to Jesus to say thank you, 9 men didn't. Were they terrible people? Probably not. Were they people that if you had said to them, are you glad that Jesus healed you? They would have said, well, of course I'm glad. If they said, would you give thanks to God? They'd say, oh yes, we'll send him a thank you note when we get around to it. They'd have done that. The problem is we are so much like them. There was something in Daniel that stopped and said, I must look back before I look forward. I must stop. I must give thanks to God. I must recognize that God moved in this situation, that it did not come because of the strength of my prayer. It did not become because of my goodness. It came because God moved, and that's what Daniel did. And so there's this aspect where thanksgiving springs from Daniel's heart. Now, if Daniel were like most of us, it would be Mr. Rogers type prayer where we would say, dear God, thank you for answering my prayer. I'm off. But Daniel did not do that. It doesn't say, first off, that Daniel thanked God. It says that Daniel praised the God of heaven. There's a maturity to this connection, that the thanksgiving that Daniel gave was not just based on a vague sense of appreciation. It was based on the very character and nature of God. And the more we put into thanksgiving, the more we get out of it. The more there is, rather than just a sense of appreciation, there is a sense of a building of faith, a building of trust, a building of reliance on God. There is an intimate connection between trust, or between praise and thanksgiving. And this is what Daniel says. He says, praise the name of God forever and ever. I want to go through 5 things that Daniel says. He says, wisdom and power belong to God. The first step in Daniel's statement of praise, of thanksgiving, is based on the fact that God knows the best route. That God understands and sees things that you and I don't see. He has perspectives that we don't have. God, wisdom and power belong to God. Secondly, he changes the times and the season. God has the sovereign power to work. Sovereign means that as much as Nebuchadnezzar believed that all of the power was his, he was wrong. As much as Nebuchadnezzar thought that all authority ended with him, he was wrong, and he would be drastically and dramatically proven wrong by God in the chapters that follow this. Nebuchadnezzar was not a sovereign monarch. God is the sovereign king, and he is the God of plans. He is the God who has the power to move things. It says that he deposes kings and raises others up. It goes on to say he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. That he gives. It's one thing to say that God has wisdom. It's another thing to say that God has power. It's a third thing to say that God actually uses that on our behalf. He gives knowledge to the wise. He gives understanding to the discerning. And that aspect of giving is significant for not only what it says, it's what it doesn't say. When it says he gives knowledge to the wise, he gives understanding to the discerning, it doesn't mean that he looks around in a congregation like ours and says, all right, let's see who the wise people are. We'll give this one and this one and this one more wisdom because they're wise. It's not that God gives wisdom to people that are wise. It's that people are wise because God gives them wisdom. Do you see the difference? There's a huge difference between the two. Because one says, Well, because of my qualities and my characteristics, because of my natural abilities, God plows more into me. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that God is the source. That is a fundamental characteristic of thanksgiving. God does not give to those who deserve. God is the source of all good things. There is that knowledge, there is that understanding that God intervenes, God moves. That's why it says in James chapter 1, do any of you lack wisdom? You should, what does it say? Ask of God. You should ask of God. And then it says this, I can only think of it in the old versions, but it says, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. All of those fancy words mean something like this. That God doesn't give wisdom by the eyedropper full. He gives wisdom by the bucket full. He gives to all people liberally. We come to God, we seek that wisdom, and it just comes down upon us. Now, we think that that wisdom means that it's the ultimate answer to everything. No, it's the wisdom that you need to live life, to survive the situation, to make it through what you need to make it through. And he doesn't upbraid. That means he doesn't criticize. He doesn't rebuke us. He doesn't, are you here again? Larson, how many times do you have to come, you ignorant person? Why are you here? Ask. God never does that. He's glad that we're there. He's happy that we're there. He never rebukes us for asking for wisdom. He never looks down on us for asking for wisdom. He simply wants us to come and to admit it to him. God gives wisdom. And finally, it says, he reveals deep and hidden things, what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. He gives the things that cannot be known any other way. You and I are trapped in a perspective of this world and in a horizontal perspective. Now, that's not a statement of criticism. That's a statement of reality. There's only so much that we can see. There's only so much that we can only understand. There's only so much that we can grasp. And God gives what we cannot have any other way. He gives us what we need for the circumstance. And all of these things are qualities and characteristics that come zooming in on Daniel as he thinks of who God is. You know what Daniel says when the king says, have you been able, can you give me the interpretation of the dream? You know what Daniel said? He said, no. There's not a man on the face of the earth that can do what you asked. And I imagine in that brief millisecond that the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar began to come up through his toes all the way up, ready to pronounce sentence on Daniel. But Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven that can do what no man can do. And it's all of that that forms the foundation for this. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. Now I want you to think about a moment. You have two ways of looking at life, two ways of saying thank you to God. One says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank and praise you, God. Option number two. God, thanks for answering my prayer. They're a little bit different, aren't they? They're a little bit different. One is rooted and grounded in the character and the quality of God that deepens and enriches and makes our faith more profound. The other is based on a simple thank you. Now, I don't want to deny the fact that a simple thank you is better than nothing, but I want to tell you that when you base your life and your foundation in the quality and the character of God and the very nature of God, it deepens your faith. It makes you to be able to thank God for more than that which is conveniently acceptable in the moment. It makes you able to say thank you to God for the deep, difficult things to understand, for the prayers that are answered in the way that we think they should be answered, and then those that are answered sometimes in the ways that we are not sure about. I would say one more thing today. I would say as we learn to give thanks to God, recognizing what God has done through people, we learn to give thanks to one another the same way. We learn that none of us as spouses say thank you enough to our spouse. None of us appreciates one another as we should. But the kind of thank you that says, thank you because. The one who says, I recognize qualities in you that make me a better husband. I recognize qualities in you that make me a better friend. I recognize qualities in you that have supplied in me things that I couldn't possibly supply myself. Do you see the kind of profound result that comes from that kind of thanksgiving? It's amazing. We cannot say thank you enough. I would like to close by saying this. We've seen today God's working in the lives of Omega and Julie. We've heard glorious testimony of the wisdom of God. We've seen his provision through his people. But each of us have stories. Each of us have stories that we overlook every day simply because we're not paying attention. Each one of us has moments in life that could be profound changes in the way that we look and think of God, and we miss them because we're not paying attention. I'm praying that this week you'll pay attention. I'm praying that this week that you will mark off the days of the calendar looking forward to next Sunday. That you will come with a minute or 2 minutes of testimony to God that say not just thank you for the food and the provision that you give me, but that thank God for the depth of who he is, that you put a little time in on it. Because I think that we can reap a tremendous harvest if we will but listen and look to God's actions in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of gratitude and how it can change our lives, Lord. We pray that our lives will be characterized by thanksgiving. Our hearts will be characterized by gratitude. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.